The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, Attorney General's Department struggles to find documents for judgment debt cases. State loses 70% of revenue to fake import invoices at country's ports. Gap between agriculture and industry cited as major cause for youth apathy in farming. Canada sends 1,000 doses of Ebola experimental vaccine to affected countries in West Africa, and Brazilian presidential hopeful dies in plane crash. First, a summary with Naja Gliago.
The Attorney General's Department is finding difficulties in providing documents required by the Judgment Debt Commission to assist in its work. This came to light at yesterday's sitting of the Commission in Accra, where the Chief State Attorney Dorothy Efiye Ansa was expected to provide documents on four judgment debt cases involving billions of cedis, but told the Commission the dockets have not been located. Outgoing Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, says there is the need for an electronic system at the country's ports to check tax evasion by importers. Speaking at a forum in Accra, Mr. Idrisu said this will help solve the problem of the country losing about 70% of its revenue to fake invoices at the ports. The country director of Send Ghana, a civil society organization, Joyce Osei-Bimpe, has cited a gap between agriculture and industry as a major cause for youth apathy in farming. Mr. Osei-Bimpe, who was speaking with Radio Ghana after the launch of the organization's five-year strategic plan, said getting the youth into agriculture will be difficult unless the entire value chain is addressed. Canada has sent up to 1,000 doses of VSV Ebav, the Ebola experimental vaccine, to West Africa to help WHO fight the epidemic. The country's health minister, Rona Ambrose, announced that between 800 and 1,000 doses would be distributed through WHO in West Africa, with Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Liberia and Guinea all reporting severe cases. Mr. Ambrose said the Canadian government is committed to supporting international partners. And a Brazilian presidential hopeful, Eduardo Campos, yesterday met his untimely death as a plane on which he was traveling crashed as a result of bad weather. Meanwhile, President Dilma Rousseff has declared 3 days of national mourning for Mr. Campos and the four other passengers and two pilots involved in the sad incident.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The Attorney General's Department has again failed to furnish the Judgment Debt Commission with requested documents to assist the work of the Commission on some cases. The Chief State Attorney, Dorothy Efiye Ansa, was expected to provide documents on four judgment debt cases involving billions of cedis, but told the Commission that dockets have not been located. She said efforts are still being made to find the documents in question. Here's Cynthia Boateng's report.
Chief State Attorney Dorothy Efiye Ansa appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission in respect of four cases. They are the AG versus Ni AJ Pobi Asawa and two others against the Lands Commission, Kwesi AJ and two others against the AG, Nana E. Dokuwood versus the AG, and Subin Timbers Company Limited versus the AG. In all the cases, the Chief State Attorney was unable to present the Commission with the files on them. Representatives of the Judicial Service also appeared before the Commission to speak to the case Delta Food Limited versus the Republic of Ghana, in which 2,000 Ghana cedis was awarded in respect of the importation of 21,000 metric tons of white maize by the government. The court administrator and the chief registrar in charge of finance, who represented the Judicial Service, were also unable to furnish the Commission with a docket on the case. Counsel for the Judgment Debt Commission, Domiti Kofi Sogbo, explained the issues.
Today, the Attorney General was invited over here to brief the Commission on a case involving Ni Obi Asawa, the second, against the Attorney General and two others. But unfortunately, according to the Attorney General's representative, Mrs. Dorothy Efiye Ansa, she has not cited the file pertaining to this case at the Attorney General that she had cited it at the Lands Commission when she was there on secondment. So she was not in the position to what has happened to that case. Then she also appeared in respect of the case titled Kwesi Ejeyi and two others against the Attorney General. This was a case that came about as a result of an accident involving Ghana Armed Forces fire tender and a Kia truck, which resulted in the death of two persons. Representatives of these deceased persons brought an action against the Attorney General. This was an accident that occurred in 2003. Yeah, to date, the Attorney General's representative has intimated again that they have not been able to trace this file. There was a clue that was given to the Attorney General the last time they appeared before the Commission. That was in respect of a letter that it wrote to the Ministry of Finance. So the Commission will now subpoena the Ministry of Finance to come and tell the Commission what exactly they know about this matter.
The sole Commissioner, Justice Yao Apau, noted that one of the cases involving the Attorney General and suing Timbers has been wrongly labeled. He requested that the title, Nana E. Wood versus the AG and suing Timbers Company Limited, be changed because it is misleading. The AG's representative later presented 7 files on different cases to the Commission.
That was Cynthia Boateng's report. About 70% of invoices submitted by are also questionable. The outgoing Minister for Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, made the statement when he addressed importers at a forum in Accra. He said adoption of an electronic system at the ports will help address tax evasion. Joyce Chichi reports.
The forum brought together stakeholders involved in international trade. They include importers, freight forwarders, clearing agents, and revenue collecting agencies. The forum provided an opportunity for them to discuss their problems to enable government to address them to realize the needed revenue for development. The former Minister for Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, blamed importers, revenue collection agencies, among others, for contributing to loss of revenue to the state.
Integrity still remains a problem of many of our custom officials and sometimes collusion with VIC officials. And one of the shortest ways to deal with it is to adopt an electronic platform and work through a paperless phenomenon. At least when the computer gives a figure, the computer cannot revoke that figure. At a particular time and instance where it was given, it becomes a legitimate authentic document. We would encourage you that we should use more of the electronic and paperless phenomena in order to reduce the human element and to reduce the integrity problems that have also contributed to the congestion of the port.
He said government has amended LI 1060 to allow the Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority to work 24 hours a day. This is to reduce the time and transaction costs related to clearing goods and services. In this regard, warehousing time has been extended from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. and legislation is being reviewed to that effect. The Managing Director of Ghana Link Network Services, Nana Samuel Buidu, who spoke for the Joint Consultative Committee on the Destination Inspection Scheme, talked about what the committee has addressed regarding human interventions.
These human interventions tend to result in collusion, tampering and falsification of documents, leading to loss of revenue. One of the major problems was the submission of the same set of shipping documents to 2 or 3 companies and forwarding the final classification evaluation report with the lease value to customs. Through the committee, we change information on such as which are currently being kept.
A clearing agent talked about time spent in getting final verification classification reports.
The duration in which the report is to be ready is one factor, because if, for instance, the vessel has already arrived and then unfortunately the importer didn't receive his or her documents on time, and then we send them to the inspection company for it to be ready probably within a week or less, it takes a lot of time.
That was a report filed by Joyce Jitchi. The Minister of Trade and Industry designate, Kospiu Gabra, has denied the scrapping appointees of the late President, Professor Atta Mills, in 2009 as Team B in a write-up published in the Daily Graphic. in a vetting that lasted more than 7 hours. Mrs. Diogabra answered questions ranging from corruption, the economic challenges, and how to improve Ghana's trade policies. He said his concentration will be on ensuring that existing policies at the ministry are implemented to ensure that the business environment is congenial to attract investors. Answering a question on how to deal with corruption at the ports, Mr. Gabra called for automation of processes at the ports to deal with the canker. The nominee said this when he appeared before the Appointments Committee of Parliament yesterday.
There is a view there may be too many institutions or agencies, task forces and special groups all operating around the ports to the point where it's not clear who is responsible for what, and each person can expand their own network and try and extract something out of the system. There's also a view that the regime for tariffs, what levies importers must pay, may seem somewhat confusing to importers of a certain category of importers, maybe not to freight forwarders who are professionals in that field, but there are at least 10 different specific line items that one has to pay. Beyond the import duty itself, there's the VAT, there's NHIL, there's an export levy, there's two or three other things that importers have to pay, and which in many cases they try to negotiate with somebody to try to avoid paying. So wherever corruption has been discussed, it takes more than one person for corruption to occur. It means that there's a businessman or a trader that is willing to encourage the corruption, and there's a government official on the other hand, on the other side, who is also interested in benefiting from the corruption. And in some cases, they then also apply to various ministries for particular exemptions, whether it's agriculture ministry, health, it may be trade or finance, depending on the nature of the products and who can grant exemptions for those imports. So it's a hydra-headed problem, Mr. Chairman. And I certainly, as an incoming minister, if I get your blessing, be looking at the full range of challenges, the full range of issues, and what interventions are possible. Should there be a harmonization of some of the tariffs to make them easier? Should there be more publicity and more public awareness with posters around the ports for people to notice what you're entitled to pay? Anything else is not what you are supposed to pay. Does it involve public education and sensitization of the importers themselves to encourage them to obey the law and to stop enticing public officials to change the rules in their favor? And is there room for discipline and punitive measures for those who find themselves on the wrong side of the law? I think all those aspects are worthy of further discussion.
Earlier, Mrs. Diogabra explained that his Team B comment was just conveying the sentiments of the public to the government. Mrs. Diogabra denied that he wrote the article because he was peeved as a result of he not being appointed as a minister.
Mr. Chairman, the relevant section of this article, which actually the heading was Honoring Nkrumah's Legacy, a Challenge for the NDC, says that the NDC has halls full of very qualified and experienced people, mostly in Ghana, some in the diaspora. So large segments of the public have been asking on radio stations why the government may have chosen to field some players from its Team B when many Team A players are available and able to play. So if one were reading this article carefully, you reach the conclusion that Ekos Diogabra has not said or written that all members of any particular government are Team A or Team B, nor has he indicated that any of the members of any particular government are Team A or Team B. So in this particular instance, the view was that I had heard on radio stations some other people referring to some ministers as Team B, and I was drawing the attention of my colleagues in the party to that affair. I was not saying that I myself felt that way. And unfortunately, by virtue of propaganda and political distortion, the impression has been created that this was my view, and it has been put into my mouth, even though, as you can see, this was never expressed.
The chairman, before the Honorable Attacher, I think the nominee read just a portion. Just read the whole thing and then maybe what is before you. And people listening to us can draw their own conclusion. Since you say that this came from your pen and not your mouth or mind.
It says that can the government really move quickly if it appoints people who may mean well but who lack the requisite qualifications, experience, and therefore confidence to take quick and correct decisions in their new positions? Of the more than 70 experienced ministers and deputies from the Rawlings era, only two are in the current lineup of ministers and deputies.
This is the people's opinion, not your opinion.
I was reporting what I had heard people debating.
But opinions are formed by what we hear and learn.
And if you ask me what my opinion is, that would be a different question. I'm saying in this particular article.
Mr. Chairman, can we move on?
With Mr. Chairman, I was reporting what had been debated on radio stations and drawing the attention of my party and the government to what people were saying.
Honorable Echoes through Gabra, I hold a different view. Now, given your stature, you will not write anything that you believed in what you wrote, whether it's the opinion of others or not, because you would have rubbished it if you didn't have any respect to what they said. But the issue is that, can't you be accused of somebody who is peeved and that you were not appointed and others have been appointed? Is it not a situation of potatoes envying tomatoes?
As a matter of fact, just for the sake of the fact that I knew it had been distorted and many of my colleagues in government probably took it the wrong way, I've apologized on numerous platforms.
Minister of Trade and Industry designates Echo Spiel Gabra. Government has again stated that the Youth Enterprise Support Initiative will be run in a transparent and fair manner, devoid of bureaucracy and discrimination. The chief executive of the fund, Kojure Duasari, said this in an interview with the media after President Mahama toured the offices of the Youth Enterprise Support at South Legon in Accra. Mr. Duasari debunked the notion that the fund will be business as usual, just like programs such as JIDA and the Local and Enterprise Skills Development Program, LESDEM.
This particular initiative has to do with anybody just like you and me. You may be a journalist and want to start something up and you need support. Just come to us and we will give you that support if funds are available for that. That's what we are concentrating on. Whether you are a party person or a non-party person, the most important thing is you follow the eligibility criteria, because that one will be scrutinized strictly. We have independent panel to look at it who may not be wearing the same colors that you wear. And they are the ones you are going to depend on to select the final beneficiaries. So what I will admonish people to do, instead of looking at their party as the conduits, they should look at the content of what they are bringing, the proposal, how viable it is, how sustainable it is, how it can employ people, which is one of our key criteria we're going to use. Between 5,000 Ghana cedis and 50,000 Ghana cedis, that is where we are starting from. As we receive applications, that we'll get to know the sense of the kind of businesses people are going to come with, and if there is a need to adjust anything, we will.
Mr. Duasari said government is not spending any extra money to pay staff, saying people are drawn from the presidency and other government agencies to run the program. Space is also being made for service persons to assist beneficiaries with convincing business plans so that they can be assisted with about 5,000 Ghana cedis and above. Chief Executive of the YES Initiative, Kojure Duasari, encourages all persons within the youth bracket to take advantage of the opportunity.
For now, I am on secondment from the office of the president as a presidential staffer. So I'm taking my salary from the office of the president. And other staff that we have are also being drawn from other government sources to come and augment our work here. We also applied for some national service personnel to also come and serve. So for now, we are not depending on the 10 million to pay salaries and stuff. We are freeing that money for its purposes for now. And then later on, when we find other means by which we can sustain ourselves, we will get into that. You are a young man, young woman, and you fall within the ages of 18 and 35, and you have ideas that you think it's worth supporting, that we can also help propel. We are ready for you even from today.
Kojure Duasari, the chief executive of the Youth Enterprise Support Initiative. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Attorney General's Department struggles to find documents for judgment debt cases. State loses 70% of revenue to fake import invoices at country's ports. Gap between agriculture and industry cited as major cause of youth apathy in farming. Canada sends 1,000 doses of Ebola experimental vaccine to affected countries in West Africa. And Brazilian presidential hopeful dies in plane crash. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyeleta, has called for the establishment of strong, responsive and accountable government institutions to ensure that the improved status of the vulnerable is sustained. This, she said, will help address the widening inequality in the country. Mrs. Letha made the remark when she launched in Accra the 2014 Human Development Report. She stressed that if policies and social norms that threaten human development are not changed, progress in reducing vulnerabilities and building resilience will be neither equitable nor sustainable. Nanamo Mari and Teko Nati Kama have more.
About 585 million people in Africa do not see improvements in their standard of living because they have limited access to basic social services. This affects individuals based on gender, conflict areas, ethnicity, and geographic locations, which is also evident in Ghana. The 2014 Human Development Report therefore examines measures that can rectify discrimination. It also focuses on the need for a collective action to reduce vulnerability and build resilience in society. Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyeleta, said social protection programs such as unemployment insurance and universal health care can help individuals to deal with poverty and invest in their future. She added that government has initiated measures to strengthen and ensure that the needs of the vulnerable are catered for to break Ghana's inequality gap.
As we take steps to build the capacity of vulnerable people and to enable them to take advantage of equal opportunities, the national discourse on progress on the reduction of vulnerability is very essential. Government has therefore initiated measures, including legal, policy, and institutional reforms.
The resident representative of the UN Development Programme, Gita Walsh, said, due to the 77% unemployment population, there is the need to create decent employment opportunities for the youth and reduce poverty in society.
You heard Nanamo Mari and Teko Nate Kama's report. The Minister for Communication, Dr. Edward Omari Bwama, says government has made provisions to engage the nation's transformation technological agencies with a secondary backup server. This will help retrieve lost information in case of any disaster. He said if Ghana should join the rest of the world to migrate from analog to digital next year, it is imperative to provide the media with the necessary support to broaden its horizon to the next contemporary standards. Dr. Omari Bwama said this in Accra when he paid a working visit to some agencies under his ministry. A report by Priscilla Pierre and Frida Amufa.
Dr. Omari Bwama and his two deputies, Felix Owusu-Kwakye and Atu Forson, visited the Ghana News Agency, GNA, Ghana Publishing Company, GPC, and the National Film and Television Institute, NAFTI. They wanted to familiarize themselves with activities there and deliberate on issues confronting these institutions and the way forward. The first place visited was GNA. The minister was conducted round by the CEO, Bernard Otabel. They toured the IT department newsroom and the GNA Press Training Center, among others. GNA, it was observed, had myriad of challenges, but the most pressing one was funding, which the CEO attributed to the inability of the agency's web users to pay for services. He said GNA will come up with a new model that will leave users with no option than to pay.
It's not ethically and morally right for you to use stories of a news agency without paying for them. With the new platform that we're about to introduce, we're going to make it a bit more difficult for people to just receive the news freely. People will be given special usernames and passwords. So if you haven't paid, you'll not be able to have the stories.
Dr. Omari Bwama pledged government support to address problems confronting GNA and suggested an alternative strategy to help derive additional income.
Government is working more and more towards improving on the efficiency and ensuring that there's judicious use of the resources of the state. That is the only way that we can free other resources for developmental projects like roads, There is a way that you can look at a reciprocal relationship between the service that you offer and the compensation that must come. There are some of the international agencies that if you click on a particular story, depending on your interest, you may not be able to exhaust the entire story. You may be asked to make some payments and enter into contractual agreements with the main patrons of your news.
The forerunner of publishing, the Ghana Publishing Company, GPC, was another place visited. They also had challenges. The minister again assured management of government support.
That was Priscilla Pierre and Frida Amufa's report. The Director General of the GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, says the TV license fees should be revised before the corporation is taken off government subvention. He said there is no way the corporation can be weaned off government subvention without the reintroduction of TV license, since GBC relies heavily on it for sustainability. Major Donchebe was speaking at a staff deba at the corporation's head office in Accra to deliberate on the way forward for GBC. According to the Director General, GBC's transition to autonomy is a three-year process, and management is developing a framework which is to be presented to government.
TV license fee also, for me, it is Serial 4, which is interesting to me, which makes me believe that this year we'll get a revision of the TV license fee. Apart from the minister talking about it, and he has talked about it on air, we've all heard it, especially because they are talking about taking GBC off subvention. To take GBC off subvention, one of the conditions precedent is revision of TV license fee. If the TV license fee is not revised, there is no way anybody can take GBC off subvention. And IMF conditionality is likely to be an ally, because IMF, I'm convinced, one of the key things they are going to be looking at is the reduction in government expenditure. So if GBC, we have gone to government to say, revise our TV license fee. If you revise it and you put in place a digital platform and you facilitate the supply of decoders to everybody, leave us alone. We can now go and collect and pay ourselves. So we'll go off single spine and all those things. And that is where the performance management comes in. Single spine, controller, he can't see you. So he's paying everybody, just like that. When we go off the single spine, we are paying ourselves here. We are collecting the money here, and we are paying it here. That's where we see those who are working and those who are not working.
On digital migration, Major Donchebe said next June's target date for the migration is unattainable. He, however, stated that a partial migration is possible. Under the partial migration, some parts of the country will be migrated, whilst others remain analog. This, he said, will be costly, since GBC will be running two systems.
The chances that we will meet this deadline, in my estimation, maybe I'm a pessimist, it's not possible. However, we could have partial migration, which means that some of the cities of Ghana could be migrated, whilst others are still on the analog platform. But that will cost us a lot of money, because we'll be operating two systems simultaneously, which is very expensive.
You have the Director General of the GBC, Major Albert Donchebe. The country director of Send Ghana, a civil society organization, George Osaibimpe, says the gap between agriculture and industry is a major cause for youth apathy in farming. He said until the entire value chain is addressed, getting majority of the youth into agriculture will not be successful. Mr. Osaibimpe spoke with Radio Ghana at the launch of the organization's five-year strategic plan, dubbed Making Ghana Work for Equity. George Ichi reports.
Send Ghana has chalked up a number of achievements during its 15 years of operation. The organization assisted in providing financial assistance to women in the eastern corridors of the country in their income-generating activities. It succeeded in addressing the nutritional needs of families in those areas through agricultural education on soya bean cultivation. Send Ghana, through its advocacy campaign, was able to influence the implementation of capitation grants, among others. The country director of the organization, George Osaibimpe, said,
overall, it focuses on women in farming. The gap between agriculture and industry is a major contributory factor discouraging their youth in that venture.
The very basic missing link is how we have not succeeded in linking agriculture to industry. This is where we'll be generating tamed demand for agriculture produce. But at the moment, industry is completely delinked from agriculture. And so even government is implementing a program like Youth in Agriculture. You see that the youth go there, they rush in there. By the end of the day, they do not have fine market for their produce. And that is a major frustrating or discouraging aspect taken into account the way that we are approaching the whole issue. There are some youth who genuinely want to go into agri. But we need to address the entire value chain. So then when people go in, they know that they are investing their time, they are investing their resources in the hope of, you know, securing market.
You also touched on youth unemployment and linked it with terrorism. On the strategic plan of the organization in the next 5 years, Mr. Sebimpe said it will continue with its advocacy role in making sure that budgets meant for pro-poor policies are not compromised. He said the organization will continue providing microfunding to complement government's efforts at addressing rural poverty.
That was Joyce Jitch's report. On the foreign front, Canada has finally sent up to 1,000 doses of an experimental vaccine to West Africa to help WHO fight the Ebola epidemic. The country's health minister, Rona Ambrose, announced that between 800 to 1,000 doses would be distributed through WHO in West Africa. Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Liberia and Guinea have all reported cases. Mr. Ambrose said the Canadian government is committed to support international partners, including providing staff to assist with the outbreak response, funding and access to the experimental vaccine VSV-EBOV. Brazilian presidential hopeful Eduardo Campos has died in a plane crash. The plane carrying Mr. Campos came down in bad weather in a residential area of the port city of Santos in Sao Paulo state. Four other passengers and the two pilots were also killed. President Dilma Rousseff has declared 3 days of national mourning and cancelled campaign events. She said the country has lost a great Brazilian and political leader. And now to end the news, the main points again. The Attorney General's Department is finding difficulties in providing documents required by the Judgment Debts Commission to assist in its work. This came to light at yesterday's sitting of the commission in Accra. Outgoing Minister of Trade and Industry, Harun Idrisu, says there is the need for an electronic system at the country's ports to check tax evasion by importers. And the Brazilian presidential hopeful Eduardo Campos yesterday met his untimely death as a plane on which he was traveling crashed as a result of bad weather. Meanwhile, President Dilma Rousseff has declared 3 days of national mourning for Mr. Campos and the four other passengers and two pilots involved in the crash. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra. 95.